Well, let's turn to the Word this morning. Let's turn to the Word of God. Now, you're welcome to join us because I will have the Word. We will have the Word up on the screen, even though you do have the Scriptures. You have the Bibles in front of you. Those are the New King James, but we'll use some various different translations. A lot of times you'll see the NIV or the ESV version on the screens. Okay, so let me start. And this comes out of the Song of Moses. This is Moses really singing joyfully after being delivered out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And just a couple of verses here I want to read. So Exodus 15, 11, he says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Who is like you, O God?" And then Jeremiah 10:12. "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens." It is he. Well, we know we're talking about our God, Almighty God, the maker of the heaven and earth. And mighty, majestic is he. I want to talk about this God, this amazing, awesome God. Now, I don't know if you know, but many of you probably do. Tomorrow is going to be a total eclipse, right? Some of you may be planning something for that. Now, who is planning to watch the total eclipse or see some of the total eclipse, right? A few people. Now, you got to get those little glasses or things. I'm not sure. Last time we had eclipse, we went to the library. The library had those little glasses for everybody. I don't know who all is offering it today. But they say, yeah, don't look at it without those glasses. Sunglasses aren't good enough, right? They're not powerful enough. The sun is amazingly powerful. We know that, right? And there's a full solar eclipse tomorrow. And it's gotten a lot of attention because there's not many of these, right? Not many of these that you can actually see. In fact, in my lifetime, as I'm looking back, and it says in my lifetime, there has only been three. This would be the third that was actually visible from where we are, right? Because it's not always visible from here we are in the States. And there's eclipses that do happen all the time, but a full solar eclipse is rare. In fact, this may be the last one in your lifetime, so go see it. As it's amazing, it creates that ring effect around the moon. So many people will be looking tomorrow, looking up into the sky and seeing this amazing, amazing alignment of star and moon and earth. And it is an amazing, because if we think about it, it should stop and make us think about how this symbiotic relationship of sun and moon and earth and everything works in conjunction with each other, so that it's such a pattern that is being created in the sun, the earth around the sun and the moon around the earth. All of these things, even the ancients could predict. Even the ancients who watched the sky and looked into the sky could predict these eclipses and the patterns that were created as they watched and paid attention to what was going on, predictable patterns of what was happening in the universe. And the speeds in which things move should blow our mind. It should absolutely blow our mind to think all this stuff orchestrated and moving and the speeds in which things are happening. I mean, we're sitting still, right? We think we are. We think we're right here. We're just sitting still. We're not moving. Oh, but we're moving. Oh, we're moving. We're moving like you haven't even believed you could move. I'm not talking about when you were young. The earth rotates around the sun. The earth rotates around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. 67,000, and I'm dropping 100 miles off that because it doesn't quite sound as good. 67,000 miles per hour. The sun is rotating around the earth. I mean, that's fast. That's fast, right? That's like going from New York to London in 3 minutes, I mean, you can't even get on a plane and get off a plane that fast. You can't even do that. In 3 minutes, you could be in London in 3 minutes. That kind of fast. You know, and I'm okay with that kind of speed as long as the earth doesn't have brakes. Because if the earth has brakes, we're all in trouble. We're seriously in trouble. So, Lord, don't stop. Don't stop the earth. Keep it going. 67,000, just keep it going at that nice, constant pace. But that's how fast we're moving through the universe, orbiting around the sun. You know, it's important to take time to look up. To look up. And be amazed. Be amazed by what we see. Be amazed at this universe we live in. Because it's amazing. It is awesome to behold. You know, if you were to step outside on a clear night, away from city lights, if you were able to do that on a nice, clear night, you'd see the Milky Way. You ever seen the Milky Way? Ever been in a place where you got away from all the city lights and the city pollution and all that stuff, and you could see this amazing, amazing array of stars filling the sky, vast throughout the whole sky. Amazing, amazing. You know, in our galaxy, there are estimated to be over a billion stars. That's a whole lot of stars. And our sun is just one among billions. It's not the biggest, it's not the smallest, but it's just one among billions. And the Milky Way galaxy is just one galaxy among billions of galaxies. Imagine that. Just try. I mean, I don't hurt your brain, but just try to imagine just being like one star, the sun, one star of our planetary system among billions of stars. And then in our galaxy, one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, among billions and billions of galaxies. That's what the scientists estimate. It's hard to fathom how expansive our universe is and how great it is. It's amazing. It's absolutely mind-boggling if we think about it. You know, we can't even really see everything. You know, even with the most advanced telescopes we have, and we have advanced technology today that can look into the universe and see amazing things and galaxies far off, but we can't see everything. I mean, scientists believe that the universe is still expanding, that it's still growing. It's not static. We don't have a static universe. They say it's still expanding, it's still growing. They don't know where the end is. They don't know where the edge is. You know, the vastness of the universe really is beyond our comprehension, our total comprehension. It's mysterious in many ways. And it makes us here on planet Earth, by comparison, feel microscopic. Microscopic. Like we're a little atom. Just placed there, a little entity in this vast, vast universe. You know, I imagine the day when God was talking to Abraham. He said, Abraham, come on outside. I need you to come on outside with me. You know, in those days, there was no city lights, right? There was no pollution. You know, Abraham could look up into the sky in probably a fairly semi-arid Middle East area, could look up into the sky and see the Milky Way, see the vastness of the universe before his very eyes. It wasn't a problem back then. And he could hear God give him the promise to say, your descendants will be like the stars. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Isn't that amazing? Then thank God, because God wasn't just after a few believers. He was after billions. Billions. You know, I think back in those days when they didn't sit at home at night and watch TV and sit on the internet, they'd sit outside. I'm pretty sure it's probably pretty common just to sit outside, hang out, maybe talk, and look up in the sky and see and behold the great universe. I think that was pretty common back in those days. They didn't have a whole lot of distractions like we do today. And they spoke of this awesome, awesome, amazing creation and the God who created it all. We can listen to some of those writers from the past, like Isaiah chapter 40. He says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." The Lord sets the billions of stars in their place. He knows everyone by name. Pretty awesome. Again, the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 1, he says, The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. God's incredible creation reveals his glory, reveals his majesty, reveals the very splendor of God. His creation points to him. Creation points to our awesome Creator. It tells us a whole lot of things about God. It points people to God. That God is not small, just as the creation is not small. It tells us that God is vast just as his creation is vast. It tells us also that God cannot be fully comprehended. Because even as his creation holds many mysteries for us, even today, holds many mysteries for us. Theologians call this general revelation. Paul says that mankind cannot have excuse. Because just look at all creation. Creation tells us there is a God. And he says, why then do we live as there's not a God? As he was speaking in the first chapter of Romans. Creation points us to an almighty, all-powerful God. So we know that God exists because of the created order around us. You know, to deny a creator, we would probably say this, right? Each of us would probably say to deny a creator. Of all things, to deny Creator is foolish. And to believe that somehow it was just random occurrence that took place over many, many millions of years is really dangerous. To believe it's just random occurrence is dangerous. And we see the danger even played out today in our world, in our culture. You know, it's like looking at the Statue of Liberty, as the Statue of Liberty holds the flame of liberty up over New York City, and saying that evolution is amazing. That somehow the Statue of Liberty tells us that evolution is amazing. It's like that. But we know it's not evolution. It's the architects. It's the builders who are amazing, who could put together something so awesome and wonderful, which has stood for hundreds of years. No, the architects and the builders are amazing. So how much more is God? How much more is God as we peer into the blueprint, the great blueprint of his creation, the great complexity and the order and the brilliance of it all? Now, if we think about what science really is, what it should be, science is really a study of God. It's a study of what God has done, what God has placed before us. It's just us discovering it, us figuring it out, us seeing deeper into it and realizing, wow, our God really is an amazing God. You see, faith and science goes very well together, hand in hand. You know, we can look at the intricacies of the universe. We can also look at the intricacies of you and me and all of us because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about that. Think about just yourself and your own, the creation of your own being. Your body alone contains around 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles. If we put all your capillaries and everything in your circulatory system, if we put it all end to end, it would wrap around the earth 2.5 times. You could go around the earth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, there's a lot of things that God has done. The adult male has around 36 trillion cells in your body. In our body, 36 trillion. And the adult female, average adult female, has around 28 trillion cells in your body. You are intricately and amazingly well made. Oh, there's a lot more we could talk about. So much more we could talk about. And just think what it takes to bring life and have life each and every day. Psalm 139 says it. Psalm 139 says this. It says, "For you form my inward parts, you God. You God form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." See, the psalmist considers the work of God, considers his very flesh and the creation that he's living in, the body that he's even living. He's considering all of these things, the works of God in creation, he's considering. And then that leads him to give praise. It leads him to give praise to God. Praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, meditating and considering the vastness of God brings the writer, the psalmist, and should bring us also to a place of awe. That we're in awe of, like, God, you're so big. You're so amazing. You're so awesome. Creation calls us to consider this God. And who this God really is. Who is this God who put everything into order, where everything can work so well together, where life works in such a way that here on earth, and nowhere else that we know of in this universe, but here on earth, everything works in such a way to produce life, and where life flourishes. Life flourishes here on earth. The scriptures call us to know this God. To know this God who is as vast as the universe, yet also involves himself with us. He involves himself in the intricate workings of our lives. Continuing Psalm 139 in verse 15, it says, the psalmist writes, it says, "My frame was not hidden from you, O God. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And then in Psalm 116, verse 1, it says, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath." A God who is vast as the universe, greater than we could even comprehend, bends down to listen to us, to listen to your prayers. That's amazing. What an amazing God we serve. God is bigger than we could possibly comprehend. Yet God is a God who comes near, who comes close, who's as intimate as our breath. So when was the last time you contemplated God? I'm not asking when was the last time you prayed. But you had prayer this morning. But when was the last time you contemplated this great, awesome God? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it was yesterday. But God calls us, creation calls us, Scripture calls us to contemplate, to think about, to meditate upon this great, awesome God. You know, most of us, as we grow older, we wonder less. If I can say that right, we wonder less. We don't do as much wondering. And in doing so, we can lose the awe. We can lose the awe. Life can become more about the mundane and the everyday. Just getting things done, just another day. What will I eat for breakfast today? I wonder if my favorite item I want is on sale today. We could get caught up in the mundane. Nah, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't go shopping today. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't eat breakfast today. I'm not suggesting that at all. Or that you should think about it. But I wonder about our wonder. I wonder about our wonder of God. Do we wonder? Do we contemplate? Do we think? Do we look into this great God? Ralph Smith, a writer, once did a study on human inquisitiveness. If I can say that right, inquisitiveness. He made this observation in his study. He made this observation about children and adults. He saw that children ask roughly 125 questions a day, roughly. Okay? Adults ask roughly 6 questions a day. So somewhere between childhood and adulthood, 119 questions were lost every day. They're lost. Don't know where they went, but they were lost. See, a child's innate curiosity, right, leads them to learn. They want to learn. They have this desire to learn, to grow. I want to know more. I want to know more. You know, you may have had that child growing up in your household that just had 125 questions a day. But it was good because they were growing. They were learning. They had curiosity. There was a curiosity in them that was instilled in them by the one who created them to learn about him. You see, the more questions they ask, the more questions they discover about the world around them. And the more they discover about the world around them, the more they discover about the one who made them. You know, we want our children to be inquisitive. But sometimes, even as adults, sometimes it bothers us, right? It's like, okay, you know. But it's good, because questions beget questions. To explore and to learn, to grow, to say, I want greater knowledge, I want more knowledge. And somewhere in our adulthood, we kind of lose it. We want to know less. Sometimes we care less. And we lose the wonder and we lose the awe. But this can lead really to a life where at some point in time, we kind of become bored. Because we stop seeking and we stop asking bigger questions. And inevitably, what can happen to us in our spiritual walk is that the size of our God begins to get smaller and smaller and smaller. God somewhere gets put in the background. He's still there, but in the distance. You ever see those pictures where they put something in the foreground? Like, I saw a picture the other day where they put two little fingers in the foreground right in front of the camera, and they put a person way, way in the distance. And the person literally was between the two fingers of the big, giant hand. It's all about perspective. What's in the foreground of our lives? What's in the background of our lives? Things that are in the background seem very, very small. But if we put things that are really significant and really important, we put them in the background, sometimes they can seem, well, very small. You know, humans, we're funny. We can be impressed by the latest gadgets and gadgets, thinking about the newest iPhone. I don't know what it is now, 15, 16, 17, 18. I have no idea. It's up there. But people line up down the streets to get the newest thing. Because they're intrigued by the greatest technology, the greatest things that have come out since sliced bread, the new iPhone. And oh, we're interested. Oh, as humanity, right? We have this interest in the greatest and the latest. But I wonder where silicon comes from. You know, the kind that the element that makes the computer chips and all the stuff that makes that phone work. I wonder where silicon comes from. Well, humans didn't create it. There is our amazing God who makes all of this stuff on earth even possible. Our very breath, and even the phones that we use. Even the intelligence that we have, the brain waves that are working, and God has created man in his image, and mankind can do amazing things, but let's not mistake man for God. We should never make that mistake. God is big, really, really big. But in our culture, God is small or non-existent at all. Your humanity, sometimes the sinful tendency can be humanity to exalt ourselves and to take all the credit and leave God out altogether. So I want to say to you that it's really important. It's really important to get outside the big city, outside the big lights, outside all the pollution that mankind has created, and to look up and to look into the vast creation that God has laid before us. To see once again, to not only see with our eyes, but to see with our heart. To see and perceive, as we spoke about last week. There's different ways of seeing, but to perceive within us how great our God really is. Don't let this world hide him from you. God calls us to stay hungry, to know more of him. The Bible says to ask, to seek, to knock. And those words, those verbs mean keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's not a one-time thing. It's an imperative, and it's a continual imperative. Don't stop. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. He says, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now this Bible talks about good gifts that God gives to his children. Yes, good gifts. But you know one of the good gifts God gives is revelation of himself. Sometimes we think of things. Oh God, give me a thing. God, give me a car. Give me a house. Give me someone to love and to love me. But God gives revelation of himself. And that's a beautiful thing. That's something that we need. We even ask, seek, not God, I want to know you more. Give me greater revelation of who you are. I don't even want to begin to think that I know everything, because that's a dangerous place. I don't want to even begin to think that I know everything about you. Not far, far from it. But God, I want to know more. I want to see more. I want to perceive more, to see more into you, to understand the vastness of your glory, of who you are. God, I want to see more. I want to know more. He's bigger. He is bigger. And when we know this bigger God, yeah, when we grow in our knowledge of God, and he becomes a bigger God to us, things become possible that before were impossible. You know that? When our God becomes bigger, things that in the past were impossible become possible. God's big. He's really, really big. And the last thing we want to do is put him in a box. That's the last thing we want to do. And God doesn't fit in boxes. So whatever box we put him in, he's going to break it because he won't fit. But it's just our way of thinking that sometimes we put God in boxes. And don't be upset when God challenges your box, because he will. And sometimes it's upsetting to us because it's comfy. It's nice and comfy to have little boxes that things fit in. But when things don't fit and God doesn't fit, and there's mystery to God. There's always mystery to God. We have to be okay that there's mystery to God. And there's things that he understands that we don't. And there's things that we would love for him to teach us, but he's going to have to wait for us to grow some. You know, there's some things he can teach you now in your life that he couldn't teach you when you were 10 or when you were 20. You didn't have the framework. He would be speaking like in another language. He would be speaking like, you know, you speak one language, he's speaking another language. And he could tell you, but you wouldn't understand. Just like when Jesus would say things to the disciples, they heard it, but they were like, well, they didn't understand. But in time, God could show them. In time, God shows us things. And if we're willing to learn and we're always open and say, God, teach me, I want to be teachable. God, show me. I want to be open to your revelation. He will. He will. He'll continue to reveal himself to us. Thanks be to God that he does this. And our faith, when God grows, our faith will grow. That's important. That's important for us to know, and it's my last point I want to make. When we get a bigger perspective on God, we grow. And when we grow and our God, the understanding and perspective of our God grows, our faith grows, and our faith has greater value. We no longer will fix a small faith on a small God. You know, there's no way to have big faith if you have a small God. There's just no way. If you're going to have faith, it's the size of your faith will depend on the size of your God. So if our faith grows, our God needs to grow. Chuck Swindoll, pastor in Texas, says this. He says this. He says, when your God is too small, your problems are too big, and you retreat in fear and insecurity. But when your God is great, your problems pale in insignificance, and you stand in awe as you worship the King. That's a great place to be. We all have problems. Problems don't go away. We have problems in life. We have difficulties in life. But when we stand before an awesome God, our problems will pale in comparison. It's like standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon and being like, wow, God, you created this. It puts things into perspective. So the question beckons to be asked today, how big is your God? How big is he? Is he in a box somewhere? Is he somewhere in the background in your life? Is it time to go outside and look up in the night sky and consider who this God really is? Take time to consider the size of your God and keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Know your God. He says, know, grow in your knowledge of him. And may it be, as Paul says, may it be as far as the east is from the west, may it continue to expand and grow and grow and grow. And may you have the joy of the Lord in learning more and more about your God. Let's pray.